1 as we begin our study this morning from that place. Thankful for all of you who are here, for those who are visiting. We're especially glad to have you with us. Hope you'll take out your Bible as we study together in this portion of our services. I've always liked that song that we just finished, Make Me a Servant. That's the exact opposite of the kind of thing we're going to look at this morning, of fools hating knowledge. We truly have the desire to be a servant of the Lord and to be made like Him in everything. To be like Him in our attitudes and our desires and in our actions, then surely we're not going to be those who are fools hating knowledge. But if we fail to do that, that's when we come to be those who are fools that hate that knowledge. When you look at this particular proverb, he says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel, and would have none of my rebuke. You'll notice those first two verses are the beginning of this way of wisdom speaking. And as wisdom starts to speak here in this first chapter of Proverbs, there's a continuation of that for some time beyond. But in this beginning part of that, he talks about how it is that there is this lack of knowledge present, and really a desire for a lack of knowledge, a hatred of that which is the knowledge of good. And he points out there are several things that show that. If you look down and you notice that statement, fools hate knowledge, that's the end product that is there. But why do fools hate knowledge? That end is approached, he says, when God calls, but you refused. When he says, I have stretched out my hand, but no one regarded. And then because you disdain my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. You see, there's something that God has provided in each of those at the start. That then has been refused or turned against. That's been rejected. And as a result of that, what God provided to help us to know His will and then do His will is not known, and therefore it is not done. And when that lack of knowledge exists, it is, as Hosea said before, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That lack of knowledge is never that which is the fault of God. It is always the fault of man. And it's the fault of man because he refuses that knowledge. But why is it that some refuse to listen to the truth? You know, you hear somebody talk about, well, you closed your ears. We sometimes talk about that as parents. We say, what did you do, plug your ears when I told you that? Well, you recognize that's the way a little kid, I don't want to hear this, I don't want to hear this. But is that the way that sometimes we act when we don't want to hear the truth? Is there anything in God's will, in His truth, that we act like that sometimes about? And the fact of it is, there are various reasons for why people refuse to hear truth. There's one that's due to a desire for ignorance. Sometimes people don't want to know the will. That's the statement that's made here. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? That word simplicity has to do not with the idea of something that's uncomplicated. It has to do with folly, a simple one, a simpleton, as we sometimes say. That is someone who remains ignorant, willfully ignorant, because of a lack of a desire for a correction of that ignorance. In Proverbs chapter 7, go with me there if you will. In Proverbs chapter 7, notice starting with verse 6, we're not going to read the entirety of what we have there. But I want to just start with a few things as it points out the statements and then skip down to the bottom end. It says, for at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, Now notice what happens. And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a man devoid of understanding, passing the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. There a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Now what was the problem here? The problem was that this man is called a simple one. This one who is ignorant. And that ignorance led him to do what? That ignorance led him to be involved in what's pointed out as the sexual sins from this point on. Here's a woman that has the attire of the harlot. In other words, what she is wearing advertises the fact that she's willing to participate in that. And therefore, what takes place? What happens is this young man listens to the seduction of this harlot, and as a result, he ends up in a problem place. He says in verse 21, toward the end of this, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, and a bird hastened to the snare, and he did know it would cost his life. You know, over and over again through this particular section of the Proverbs, this idea of one being taken by the foreign woman or by the seductress is brought up. And the idea is not that it was impossible for someone to know the destruction of fornication and adultery. All we have to do to know that is look around a little bit and see it over and over again among friends that are there, among those who are leaders in our nation. Various cases of ones who went into fornication and into adultery, and as a result of that, they were destroyed. It is not hard to know. But it's something that someone doesn't want to know the problem if they're going to get involved in that. That their desire for that lust, their desire for those sexual sins, is sometimes so great that they refuse to look and to learn about what happens as a result of that. That's one case in which there is an ignorance that is willful in its nature. That one desires for that ignorance. There's another one in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, or 53, pardon me. In Psalm 53 and in verse 1, the statement is made by the psalmist about that matter of the folly of not believing in God. He says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquities. There is none that doeth good." The fool says there is no God. Why? Why is that something that only a simpleton or a fool would say? Well, if you look over in Romans chapter 1, the statement is made that God made known. He clearly displayed the fact of His everlasting power and divinity. The power of God and the wisdom of God are known through this creation. You cannot look at this creation with any kind of an understanding at all and say, here's a complex order. Here's something that exists that's beyond anything that we can fathom. And the more we learn about it, the more we know of what we don't know. Now, how did this happen? By accident? Is it something that's the product of mere chance? I suggest to you, somebody has to be a fool to say that. And that's exactly what the psalmist says. There are those who have a desire, it seems to me, more often, for a lack of knowledge of God's presence than for real belief in that lack of God's presence. A young man that I knew who was preaching the gospel for some time, who decided he was going to go into various things of the flesh, told me, he says, "Harry, I don't know if I believe in God. I just don't really think I do believe in God." I said, "Oh yeah, you do. You believe He's there, but you wish He was." There's a whole lot more atheists that are atheists by desire, by wish, than there are by real belief. The idea is, I want to do something that's opposed to God.
And since I want to do something that's opposed to God, I'll say God doesn't exist so I can salve my conscience in doing that which is of evil. Now that's folly. That's merely acting like me wanting something different will make it to be different. That's the definition of a simpleton. And that's the point. A desire for ignorance sometimes comes from that way. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see another case of this very thing. Start with me, if you will, there in verse 3. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking in their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved from fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. When people deny the coming of the Lord in judgment, what is the problem there? The problem is pure folly. Is it something that we have a lack of ability to know that? Oh no. You look at what God said, and He would destroy the earth in the time of Noah, which is what this passage is talking about, and He did it. It's not a question of whether God would bring an end to people in that kind of a way of judgment, where He would bring that destruction. The fact is, He already has. And since God brought that through the destruction and the flood, we ought to recognize, yes, He will do what He says of bringing that destruction by fire in the last day. If someone refuses to know that, that's the only way that they can put that out of their mind. It's not something that God has failed to show Himself. In fact, He shows Himself very clearly in that. In Romans chapter 10, there's another case of an ignorance that is present, and that is a willful ignorance, a desire for ignorance, if you will. In Romans chapter 10, look with me in verse 3, speaking of Israel, Paul says this, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. I asked you, why is it that they were ignorant of God's righteousness? The latter part of that verse gives us the very clear point. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Was it that God made it impossible for them to know what His order was, His righteousness? No, that wasn't the problem. They had been given the law. He had plainly declared His will. The problem is they would not submit to that. They would not follow what He said. And as a result of that lack of following, there was a willful ignorance that existed, and therefore they didn't listen to the will of God. When you look over into Mark chapter 13, that answer is given as to why. It says that they had ears that could hear, but they didn't hear. What was the problem? Their heart is dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. It goes in that order. If my heart is hard against God, I do not desire His will, then I'm not going to know His will. I'm not going to listen to it. That desire is going to overrule my thinking about that and learning from God's will. If I have that desire that's cut off in my heart to know the will of God, then there's going to be a willful ignorance that continues in that. The simple can find prudence, or they can find that which is the will of God. How do they do that? Look back over in Proverbs chapter 1. Because that's the instruction very clearly that is given, as you notice at before our context study. In verse 4 he says that these things, this instruction that is given here in the book of Proverbs, is to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Where do you go to learn that? You go to the will of God. If you want to have that kind of a knowledge, that will of God within your heart, knowing that it's something that can be done. But it has to be done by listening to the wisdom, not of your desires or not of man. It has to be done by listening to the right source of wisdom. That's the Word of God. And if we truly desire that, then God will richly bless us with wisdom that's found within His Word. There's another reason for a lack of knowledge, for fools that hate knowledge. That is because there is sometimes a lust for sin. There's a desire to justify on some people's part evil in their lives. And it's that which they want to do, their desire is for that evil, and that stops them from hearing the truth. Because that truth would reprove and rebuke that conduct, and therefore they do not want to hear it. Take, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the very statement of why it is that gospel preaching is to be done and its purpose. In 2 Timothy 4, and starting out with verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away from their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables." Now what can solve that? But, he says, verse 5, "Be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of evangelist, fulfill thy ministry." What does that mean, fulfill your ministry? What is Paul talking to Timothy about? We'll go back up to verse 1. What was the charge that was given? What was the ministry that was given? He says, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. There's the charge that's given as we involve ourselves in the teaching of the will of God. It involves a rebuke of that which is wrong, a rebuke of sin. Sometimes people don't want to hear that. In fact, all of us at times have been involved in a kind of a mind where we did not want to hear a rebuke of something we were doing. Well, now, what did that keep us from doing? That kept us from knowing the will of God. Because we closed our ears to it. That sin overruled in our life. In Isaiah chapter 65, this point is made very clearly. In Isaiah chapter 65, the prophet there talks about the fact of what was going on in Israel's life as they existed at this time. In Isaiah chapter 65, I hate these iPad things that don't go where your finger points out. In Isaiah chapter 65 and in verse 12, it says this. He says, I will destine you to the sword, and you will bow down to the slaughter. Because, here's the reason, when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But you did that which was evil in my eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. In particular, the case here is with idolatry and all of the sins that were involved in idolatry. What did they do? They did not desire God's way. Their way that they desired was a way of evil. They wanted to follow that, and as a result of that, they refused to hear God, even though He had given them His Word, even though He had made them His covenant people, and their ability to have that Word, they refused to hear it. When they refused to hear it because they wanted to involve themselves in the things of idolatry, then they did not comprehend God's will. In fact, in time, they came to be those that did not even retain it in their presence. We come to a time in Israelite history when it had been so forgotten that they found it in a wall as they were repairing the temple. I want to ask you something. How could that happen? How could that take place that the only place that there was preserved God's law was in a wall that somebody had to break down in order to repair, to find the law in the first place? What would cause you to put something in a wall and put some cover over it? Would that be something you wanted to get to easily? That tells me something about the person who did that. And it tells me something else about the people who were out there in the nation as a whole. that they had forgotten that. They didn't want to listen to it. Therefore, it was put away from them. And the Levites, who were serving in that temple, who ought to have been teachers of that law, had walled it up. They had put it into there because it was not a part of their daily life and their daily action. You know, that sometimes is what happens with people who are involved in various kind of things of sin. They put away God's Word. They will not read it. They will not study it. They will not come to know it. Why? Because there's a love for what they're doing. You look at Israel during this time. Why did they desire idolatry? Well, they had a form of idolatry that they could worship these false gods. And what would they do in worship? They would commit adultery and fornication. They would drink to a way of becoming drunk. They would involve themselves in various pursuits of material things. Now, what was all of that? That was their own desire. And when they wanted some way that met their own desire, they went after idolatry. Not because they really said there was some proof of that idol. And that idol had shown his power, because he did not. God had shown his power. But their desire was for the things that were involved in idolatry. And therefore they left off the will of God. They left off the hearing of that truth because of their failure to know God's will in not desiring God's will. In Isaiah chapter 66, the very next chapter and in verse 4, he says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer, and when I spake, they did not hear. But they did that which was evil in my eyes and chose that wherein I delighted not. That's much the same thing as what said back there in chapter 65. And there's a statement that's made in both of those that's given at the end of verse 4. They chose that wherein I delighted not. What does God delight in? What is His desire? His desire is for truth. His desire is for righteousness and holiness. His desire is to bring man to salvation. You think about the things that God desires. If our desires do not match God's desires, what's going to happen? Our knowledge will not be taken from the knowledge of God. God gives the knowledge through His Word, but if our desire is not there to begin with, to go after God's will, instead our desire is toward these things of sin, then ignorance is going to be the result of that each and every time. Look over into Jeremiah chapter 7 again. As the prophets speak of this, it was a repeated problem in Israel when they gave themselves to a desire for wickedness and did not know the will of God. Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 12, it says, But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I caused my name to dwell at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, saith Jehovah, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and called unto you, but you answered not. And then the conclusion, Therefore will I do unto the house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. The destruction of Shiloh, the place of the beginning of the tabernacle being set up, and the place as well of the altar of Abraham being set up, the destruction of that portended what was going to take place to the temple in Jerusalem. He said, here was this place, and I destroyed it. What does that tell you? That I can destroy Jerusalem and the temple as well. Now, why was that going to be done? He said, verse 12, for the wickedness of my people. And when that wickedness was present, he says, I called, but you answered not. Those of you who are parents, Sometimes you call out to your children, call them by name, and there's no answer. Instead, there's a silence that's going on. Does that give you some bit of alarm? I knew something was happening that shouldn't be happening when that kind of thing happened when our kids were growing up. When there was no answer to that, that tells me they're into something that they don't want me to know about. You see the picture that's there of God with His people? His people are involved in things of evil, and He calls, but they did not answer. I think back to the garden. And God called for Adam. And what happened? He hid himself. Why? Because what he was doing, he knew was wrong. And because he was involved in that matter of sin, there was a failure to listen to God because he had done something of desiring that which was against the will of God and wickedness. And he had turned from God's instruction. In Jeremiah chapter 32, instead of listening to God, Jeremiah points out what they had done. And what they had done is to set up all the things of idolatry. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 33 it says, "And they have turned unto me the back and not their face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they had not hearkened to receive understanding or instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it." There's the way in which they were involving themselves in taking away the knowledge of God. They had gotten to the very point where they were taking the temple, the place of God's name, and they had made that into a place that was a reserve for their idols as well. Jeremiah points out correctly, as we need to understand as well, when that happens, then God is going to act. He's going to bring a judgment against them. Lust chokes out the truth. And the more I involve myself in a desire for the lust, the less I'll listen to God. I've noticed through the years that when someone wants to involve themselves in immodest dress, or in the drinking of alcoholic beverages, or maybe the dancing, or wants to get themselves involved in a marriage that's not right in the sight of God, you get those things going in their life, and they're going to pick apart at any kind of a teaching on those subjects. They don't want to hear it. Now, a lot of times what they'll say is, "Well, now I believe the truth, but I don't like the way he did it. Or I believe the truth, but I think that's the wrong place to go." And then when you go to another one, that's not what that says either until what's happened. Until what's happened is you wiped out all the things that would show what the truth of God is. Now, is God's truth on any of those subjects difficult to know? I'd suggest to you it's not. Pretty polite. You can go throughout the Scripture and you can see what God has to say about any of the practices involving those kinds of lusts of the flesh. The problem is not a lack of clarity of God's Word. The problem is when somebody wants to practice that, they're not going to listen to the will of God on those things. One more thing. And that is because of no love for truth. You know, that's what it comes down to. There's a desire for evil, yes. There's a desire for ignorance. But there's a lack of a love for the truth of God. And that lack of love for God's truth, lack of a commitment to submit to Him, is going to cause one not to hear. In Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and in verse 10, the prophet of old spoke to this very point. Jeremiah 6 and in verse 10, "To whom shall I speak and testify that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of Jehovah is become to them a reproach, and they have no delight in it." Now, why did that take place? Why was it that there was no desire to listen to these things? Go back up to the previous chapter. In chapter 5 and in verse 30, the statement is made, "A wonderful and horrible thing has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear their rule by their own means. and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Why was it that God would bring a reproach upon them? Why is it that they had uncircumcised ears and weren't hearing? My people love to have it so. They love to have that lack of instruction. They did not want to have a true prophet because they did not want to hear what he said. Instead, they were seeking after those prophets and after those who were servants who would do that which was right in their own eyes and that which was a desire of the people. In 2 Thessalonians, you see the same kind of a warning to us as we would approach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the wrong way. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning with verse 10, it talks about the people that were there who had a deceit of unrighteousness working in them. He says, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God sends them the working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You notice in verse 10 and verse 12 there's a statement about pleasure or a desire. He says they did not receive a love of the truth. What did they have a desire for, a love of? Verse 12, they were ones who had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those two go against one another. Not only is there a desire for evil, as we have pointed out, lust keeps people from hearing the truth, but there's also an antagonism that is toward the truth. There was a lack of love for the truth, and because the people had that, they would take over and have that working of error. God would allow them to go under the way of Satan because they did not love that truth of God. So what do we need to do? What we need to do is learn to love the will of God. Here's what gets people off on that. As we had talked about back in Jeremiah chapters 5 and 6, Ezekiel covers much the same thing. In Ezekiel chapter 33, there's a statement that's made of those who had a desire to know what the prophets said. And what they liked about the prophets was not what they spoke, not the truth that they declared, but they liked the voice or the way that the prophet put it. In Ezekiel 33 and in verse 32 it says, and lo, you are unto them a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do them not. Here was Ezekiel who evidently was one who had some ability in the idea of speaking and in presentation. They liked to hear him, not because of what he said, but because of the way he said it. Because there was something pleasing there. You know, when we have a lack of a desire for the truth, and instead what we want is a performer in the teaching of that, sooner or later that gets us to the wrong place. Now, Ezekiel was still speaking that which was the truth, but they didn't have their mind on the truth. They had no love for that. What they wanted is an entertainer who would put it in such a way that it was pleasing, that it was something that they enjoyed for a little while. But they weren't going to follow that. That's exactly what happens when there's apostasy within God's people as well. When there's a desire for the person over the message, you've got a problem. Even when that one who is the person is speaking truth, if the focus is on him, then it's not on the truth. And that love that is there for him will not be with the truth. And the result of that is they'll stray from it. Jesus talked about the ultimate point in his time that the people hated light and they loved darkness rather than light. There's the problem. That lack of a love for truth. They did not want to hear it. Sometimes we see the same trait in people today. Now how do we combat that? The way we combat that is not by getting a social gospel. It's not by changing our approach. It's not by coming along and saying, well, we'll change the atmosphere in which that's taking place. All of that is superficial. The way we change that is real simple. It's what is pointed out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here are those who are going to go ahead and preach the truth. Now, will people listen to it? Will they always desire it? No. But what does Paul say? Paul says we'll stick to the truth. We're not going to try to deceive them and bait and switch with them, but we'll stay with the pure, unadulterated truth of God. When we do that, we keep people's focus where it ought to be, on God's Word. If there is a lack of love for that, what happens? The repeated bringing of that back over and over again will produce one of two things. It will either bring them to a love for that truth, or it will manifest a spirit which says they will not tolerate it and they'll be gone. One of those two things happens. And in either way, the purity of God's people and His cause is maintained. So when we think about how is it that we can win souls, get the numbers, we have our focus on the wrong thing. Put the truth out there, and those that have a love for the truth, they're the ones who are going to respond to that. The lesson's yours. We'll continue this same part of study, I guess, in the last hour.